we're recognizing that New York will find a new senator, but the country, not the state, the country is more enhanced by the opportunity to have her service.
A reprise from the newscast from Governor Patterson responding to President-elect Obama's announcement yesterday of what everybody already knew, that our home state senator, if you live in New York, is moving on to the role of U.S. Secretary of State. And now that Hillary Clinton's New York Senate seat will be up for grabs as of January 20th, the jockeying is underway for who will replace her. So to discuss the likely candidates, who is supporting whom, and who should be or what qualifications should be taken into account to best serve the state in this role, we are joined by Glenn Thrush, senior congressional correspondent for Politico.com. He used to cover New York for Newsday. Welcome back to WNYC, Glenn. How you doing?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
And Andrea Bernstein, WNYC's political director, will be joining us in a few minutes. She's been covering Hillary Clinton since 2000, and of course, this presidential race. And we can take your calls and posts. Who do you want to replace Hillary Clinton in the Senate? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Glenn, I'm still thinking about our listener, Richard Williams from Larchmont, who wrote on our webpage, "I am an unemployed musician. How about me? I'm more than happy to take Senator Clinton's place." So,
I would. Can you raise $60 million?
Now, that's an interesting question. Is fundraising a prerequisite here? This isn't going to be an appointed position, at least for now.
Yeah, I think. Remember, the person who gets this job inherits essentially two elections: the 2010 race and then the 2012 race. So they have to do a tremendous amount of fundraising, which I have heard estimates from folks on the inside that we are talking in the magnitude of $25 to as much as $60 million that the price tag of a New York Senate seat would cost.
To defend that seat when you're up for re-election.
To defend that seat, to fend off potential challengers in the primary, to set up the statewide infrastructure, and to deal with whoever the Republicans would throw up at them.
And I gather that President-elect Obama or the Obama people, tell us if your reporting kind of confirms this, want somebody who isn't only a good fundraiser for him or herself, but also for the country, because Hillary Rodham Clinton, of course, was a national figure before she was senator from New York, and she had incredible fundraising power for others as the Democrats were driving to take over the Senate, in the last few years, as they did in 2006.
No, that's right. But her national fundraising organization, which was led in part by Terry McAuliffe, who is now himself running for governor of Virginia, and a fundraising team that turned itself largely over to the Obama campaign, that old team isn't likely necessarily to get back together around whoever it is that Patterson appoints. In fact, there's some sense that members of the Clinton inner team are kind of dividing on who it is that they would support. I mean, Harold Ickes, who is one of Hillary's top folks, is apparently pushing pretty hard for Tom Suozzi, and other members of the Clinton camp are kind of leading this diaspora. So it's not at all clear as to whether or not Hillary Clinton's team will have an impact on New York. It was never much intended as a New York statewide organization in the first place. It was intended to run her presidential campaign. I mean, to me, the more interesting question is, will Chuck Schumer, who has focused so much of his energy, his incredible energy and fundraising capacity on gaining seats in the Senate, turn his attention to New York, which he has not done with as much fervor as he has attacked his role as chairman of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee.
Lucy from Brooklyn on our website writes, "Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez, who worked very hard for Hillary Clinton in her campaign. It should be a woman who is picked, and having a progressive woman who can represent the Latino community and small business would be very helpful now." Then someone else writes, "Spitzer, New York isn't a Puritan state. I just moved to Wisconsin, and we have a pro-pot socialist in the Capitol's mayoral seat. If we can do that, then you can have Spitzer." Then there's T from the East Village who wrote, "Plaxico Burress, come on, give him a shot." WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein also joins. I don't think it's going to be Plaxico Burress, do you, Andrea?
Doubtful.
It's usually the Jets who shoot themselves in the foot every year.
No, it's usually the Democrats. And they may yet.
So this is like a true Jets fan.
This is a complicated procedure, Andrea. Yes.
Well, it is. And it isn't. I mean, in some ways, it's perfectly simple. The governor is the decider. He gets to decide. So you have this extraordinary situation where Patterson, who never ran on his own ticket, is now in the position not only of being governor, but of choosing the next United States senator for New York. So in that sense, it's very simple. There's no vote. There's no nothing. There's no consensus. It's just him. On the other hand, there are all kinds of considerations. So we know that, you know, Patterson is in Albany. He has a strong team of Albany advisors who have a big sensitivity, probably bigger than the populace at large, to what the representation is geographically in the state. Now, clearly, if you live upstate in Albany or Buffalo, Rochester, you know, you want representation from your area. But, you know, the big population center still remains in New York City and its suburbs. Nevertheless, that's a big push.
But there are a lot of identity politics at play here then, because we read the comment from the listener who wants a woman, wants a Latino. Others want an upstater, as you say. Others say we shouldn't take a woman out of the Senate, so it should be another woman. Should be an African-American, someone said, now that Obama left as the only black senator.
Well, and Obama is no longer a senator. There are no black senators. There are none, but there's big, obviously, pressure to fill his seat with an African-American. There is a strong push, which is sort of interesting because the political movement seems to be in its nascent form. But I know right on up to the incoming White House, there's a feeling in this year where Hillary Clinton shattered people's perceptions about who could be president, what gender, that it would be a Shonda, as they say, to give her seat to a man. So there's that constituency. Also, in New York right now, there are 3.2 million Latinos and growing compared to 3.5 million African Americans, and there are no Latinos in citywide office in New York or in statewide office, so that is also a very, very strong force here.
Let's hear what some of our callers are thinking. Owen in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Owen.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I want to note that I think my wife and I were talking about this the other day, and we believe Andrew Cuomo would make an excellent candidate. He's got, you know, national recognition through his kind of family lineage, and he's got a long list of experience. I think he has the fundraising capabilities, and he's been a loyal Democrat. I think he'd make an excellent candidate.
And, Owen, thank you very much. And when they did a poll, Glenn Thrush from Politico, and I realize this is such a new question that you can't really go too much, you know, by the polling as really the democratic expression of the people. But he did lead by a large amount in a poll that was done the other week.
Well, that's name recognition. Look, Andrew Cuomo would be, I think, acknowledged as the front runner if this were an open seat and people were just running for it. I mean, Andrew Cuomo has a couple of natural advantages. One of which is he's got the one of the biggest political names in New York State still. The other advantage is that Patterson would probably do pretty well to move him out of the way as a potential challenger in a primary, if you know, despite Cuomo's protestations about running against him. And the other thing is, you know, Cuomo was a former HUD secretary, and we are entering a housing crisis. Mm. Well, we're in a housing crisis, and his knowledge of multifamily housing and sort of the problems associated with the downside of a housing bubble are probably pretty valuable right now in the Senate.
You know, that's the first mention in this whole conversation of qualifications rather than who gets some kind of spoils.
Well, but I apologize.
I mean, it's interesting because there's two things that I think Andrew Cuomo loves. One is politics, which he loves and is in his blood, and he loves to play the game. And I think he also loves to run things. He ran HUD. He was the youngest cabinet secretary ever in the history of the United States. And now he's running a big U.S. attorney's office. He wanted to be governor. He ran against Carl McCall in 2002 before dropping out.
Senators don't get to run. So
the question is for Andrew Cuomo, who I think, you know, still has a big career path for himself. I don't believe it ends at statewide office. You know, is the senator the job that he wants. I mean, even Hillary Clinton, who got 18 million votes in the primaries in 50 states, found herself in the U.S. Senate when she went back there saying, well, you know, you can have a seat on this committee and you could maybe be the head of a task force on this, but, you know, not getting the real trappings of power that I think she and some of her supporters felt that she was entitled to.
18 million votes, and now she's going to serve at the pleasure of one man. Mark on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, there are many strategic things Patterson could do, but if he wants to do the right thing, if he wants to do the fair thing, he would appoint Nita Lowey, because Hillary Clinton stole the nomination in 2000 from Nita Lowey. He won't do it because she's Jewish, and we already have a Jewish senator, but if he wants to be fair and do the right thing, that's it.
Mark,
well, Nita Lowey took herself out of the equation yesterday. She said she doesn't want the seat. She said that she's happy being what they call a cardinal in the House, which means she runs a subcommittee on the Appropriations Committee, which funnels a lot of money. The caller makes an interesting point, though. A couple of folks that I talked to yesterday said that while the consideration for Patterson should center around the possibility of recognizing these growing minority populations, Hispanics and African Americans, the fact that Patterson and Malcolm Smith are clearly an unprecedented level of African American representation in Albany could clear the way for a white downstate candidate, yeah. and that helps people like Jerry Nadler and Tom Suozzi in Nassau County.
And for people who don't know the history, when the caller says Hillary stole it from Nita Lowey in 2000, Congresswoman Nita Lowey of Westchester was considered the front runner to run for the U.S. Senate seat that was vacated in 2000.
Right. Or everybody thought at the time would be vacated and was by Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. And she was sort of considered the front runner at the time. And there was this long dance that went on with Hillary Clinton. And you know, I was certainly watching it. And I remember, you know, sometime in June, I think, of 1999, having a phone conversation with Nita Lowey in which she just sighed and said, you know, I'm getting out of this. I'm getting behind Hillary Clinton. You know, it's over. And, you know, and I think that, you know, she does have certainly a lot of power. The other thing that we haven't talked about is Barack Obama has an interest in what happens in New York State.
What's his interest?
Well, a couple of things. First of all of these people that are in congressional seats that are being considered, Obama does not want to have to defend a congressional seat. He doesn't want to lose a seat to a Republican. So, for example,
a House seat.
So, for example, Kirsten Gillibrand, who, you know, has this seat that represents nine counties in upstate New York. Well, she's a woman. You know, she won this tough election in a district which has historically been Republican. As a matter of fact, I think it still has the most registered Republicans in any congressional district in New York State.
Huh.
And so, like, that would be a hard seat to defend.
She was endorsed by the NRA, which was a
right.
critical component of her reelection.
And then the other interest is they want to make sure whoever is the Democratic U.S. senator is able to raise money and, you know, keep that seat. They don't want to have to. I mean, you know, it hasn't always been that New York has had two Democratic senators. And in fact, you know, if you look at history, that is not necessarily the normal situation. So there is also the White House doesn't want to have to be making these arguments. I mean, they would be distractions to their big agenda that they have in Washington.
Glenn?
Another factor here is, you know, the 800-pound gorilla from Brooklyn, Chuck Schumer, is somebody who one would assume would play a pretty important role in this. Chuck, again, has shown a reluctance to get down into the nitty-gritty of Democratic state politics to avoid the kind of internecine conflict. The thing that we have heard from people through the grapevine is that Chuck has been sort of whispering in Patterson's ear and saying that he should pick someone up from upstate New York, whether it's Congressman Higgins from Buffalo, Byron Brown, the governor of the mayor of Buffalo, or Gillibrand from upstate. Some people say Schumer may be saying this so that he doesn't have a competitor from downstate like he had in Hillary Clinton. But it'll be really interesting to see what role, if any, Chuck decides to carve out for himself in this process.
Karen in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi. It just came right to my head with Bill Clinton, and I know he still wants to be in politics. And I think, I mean, if anybody's a fundraiser, if anybody's going to bring people across the aisle and some other things, he's the candidate.
Well, let's see. Looking at what he gave up just this week, he has to disclose who he gives money to. He has to stop running his own foundation or detach his own foundation from his global initiative. I don't understand all of it, but it looks like he's completely giving up any real power that he has in his own organization to clear the conflict of interest path for Hillary to become Secretary of State. So maybe it's a consolation prize.
It's an interesting thing because, you know, the more Machiavellian analysts said that Obama picked Clinton in part to get her out of the Senate, you know, if you believe the purely positive narrative that he picked her because he thought she'd be the best Secretary of State, you would discount that. But putting Bill Clinton in the Senate would be sort of putting the real kind of undisciplined troublemaker in the family back in a position of power. So, you know, would that be in the interest of the president-elect? I'm not sure. The other name that, you know, somebody that is not in elective politics right now that has come up is Caroline Kennedy or Bobby Kennedy Jr. Both those names have been floated. And, of course, those are, you know, obviously people with big names, big portfolios, and they wouldn't be leaving any seats vacant that would have to be defended.
Both popular on our webpage, just kind of eyeballing it, you know, and I may be wrong because I'm, you know, talking to you guys while I'm going through these 60-plus posts here. Probably RFK and Caroline and Bill Clinton are the most popular, according to this informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific online thing that we have
really
going.
Bad news for everybody. Bill Clinton today said that he's not interested.
Oh, yeah, he came out?
Which breaks my heart.
I kind of wonder what he's going to be doing with himself.
And somebody else on our webpage, some of the other suggestions, Elizabeth Holtzman, Ronnie Eldridge, Mark Green, Carl McCall, Gerald Nadler. If not Elliot, then how about Silda Wall Spitzer? Somebody writes, she's got my full confidence. But before you both go, seriously on the qualifications, because this really all does seem to come down to politics primarily as far as those involved are concerned. What would make, not who would make, but what would make the best senator for the people of New York? Andrea?
Well, one of the things that I think Hillary Clinton did particularly well and was roundly admired by her constituents for was being very smart and wonky and really understanding these policy proposals and fighting these, you know, what seemed to, on the outside, tiny little constituent battles, like, you know, helping the Finger Lakes fishing rod factory get on the internet and helping the soap maker in the Adirondacks sell their products on eBay. And it was this kind of attention to detail that, you know, gave her one of the big arguments that, you know, she was somebody who had won red counties in New York. And I think that New Yorkers are looking for a senator who can both, you know, do that kind of fierce and, you know, sort of small scale nitty gritty as well as the big policy issues. So fascinating in 2000 when Hillary Clinton came in, and even there were some Democrats who were saying, you know, she's a carpetbagger and who's she? And there's so many other talented people in New York. And now here we are and the situation is reversed and everybody's like, oh, Hillary Clinton has left. Who can possibly fill her shoes?
People writing Liz Krueger, Bill Perkins, Carolyn Maloney. Same question to you before you go, Glenn Thrush from Politico.com, on the qualifications. And you used to report local politics for Newsday. What does make an effective senator for the people of New York?
Well, I think intellectual bandwidth is important. I mean, this was Pat Moynihan's seat. And to a certain extent, you always had that combination of pothole versus philosopher. And I think, you know, of the crop of candidates that we've talked about, you know, none of them quite fit that category. But people will tell you, even his opponents off the record, that Jerry Nadler, for whatever shortcomings he might have, is the most sort of senatorial in his capacity to understand big think issues. So I think that is a consideration, and it might get lost in the shuffle here.
Anthony Weiner, Hiram Montserrat, Christine Quinn, and somebody writes, not Andrew, Mario. WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, Glenn Thrush from Politico.com. Thanks a lot for talking about who might be next for U.S. Senate from New York. And somebody just posted, how about Michael Bloomberg? Thanks a lot, both of you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have Michael Kinsley standing by on his new book, Creative Capitalism. Oh, and on his article on Barack Obama's smoking habit. Stay with us for Michael Kinsley.